building our house on the rock. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. As always, so grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you, and we would love to hear from you. You can go to our website at agradio.org, or you can go and write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. We're looking at Romans chapter 1 this week, what I've called a shepherd's heart. And Paul here is writing the Roman church, and he is overwhelmed that the Lord has set apart a church and raised up a church in the middle of the Roman Empire, and he's overwhelmed because their faith is being spoken of throughout the whole world. God has done the unimaginable. In the heart of the pagan empire of godless Rome, a beastly kingdom of this world, there in the heart of it, the Lord had raised up a people. Now, I don't know how much we think about something like Romans 1, but I said yesterday, if I were to take you back to the first century, you know how hostile things were to the gospel. The cities of Asia Minor were pledging their allegiance to Rome. To give you an example, you know what went up in Pergamos? It was called the Dia Romana, a massive temple. And what made this temple so unique was it was the only temple known to have personified Rome as a goddess. In other words, it was a temple for worshiping Rome. Now, in about AD 25, all the cities of the region were vying for the right to build a temple for the great emperors. Tacitus, a historian, wrote in his annals that Augustus Tiberius had allowed for a single temple to be erected in his honor during his lifetime. Such a temple would not only contain a statue of the ruling emperor that could be venerated in godlike fashion, but the temples were also dedicated to the Roman people. It was just expected that you worshiped at this time Caesar as God. You know, Julius Caesar had a statue built with the inscription in Latin, Deo Invicto, to the unconquered God. The people would walk right into these temples and they would sprinkle incense on the fire, which would burn before the emperor's bust. Roman worship was everywhere. You think things are bad now? This would be like putting up a Smithsonian of all the accomplishments and bowing before the symbol of our country, requiring that full undivided allegiance be given to a bust of our president. You think the Christians did this? Their allegiance was to Christ. They viewed this as idolatry. They couldn't worship Caesar as Lord, and the consequences were great. So in AD 49, Emperor Claudius had expelled all the Jews from Rome, thinking they were followers of a man named Crestus, definitely a variant spelling of Christ. What had happened was that many Jews who had become Christians were proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. They were stirring up all the non-believing Jews in the city, and there was turmoil. And my whole point to begin today is simply to say there was a powerful testimony of Christ prevailing in the very heart of Rome. And everyone in all other churches, even among the pagans, were talking about these Roman Christians. So in the midst of all this darkness, Paul is overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I thank God for you, dear Romans. Feel the affection. God raised you up in the heart of Rome. Their faith was being reported of all throughout the world. And what does Paul say? I'm going to pray for you. God is my witness. I will not stop praying. This is big. Now, why is this important for us today? Paul saw that in the midst of weakness was power. Paul saw that in the heart of persecution, in the most pagan place, there God was. And he's intensely moved. I think sometimes as Christians, we are so caught up in fear today. We turn on the news, we see what's happening in the Middle East, we see embassies, we see the rage, we see the Muslims, and nothing seems certain. Everything seems to be falling apart. We have so much concern about our next election. We wonder what's coming, and what do? Well, our tendency is to retreat. And you see, I can't help but look at this and think, the world back then was crumbling all around them. Nothing's new under the sun. Imagine Paul flipping on the evening news. Guess who's coming into office? Bloodthirsty Nero. And on the news are the Jews persecuting the churches. In this book, he's going to write about submission to governing authorities, and Nero's in the queue. But above all the chaos, I'm thinking of John on the island of Patmos. He says, I looked up and I saw a throne fixed in heaven. Paul saw the God of all grace. There in the heart of the most wicked empire stood a group of believers whose faith was being reported of all over the world. And you know, today, in the midst of all the chaos we're experiencing, we need to look up. We have no enduring city here. But if we are here, you know what that means? The elect have not yet come in. And in the midst of this chaos, God is still on his throne, raising up, saving a people, building his church. And I believe the Lord wants us not just to look at the church in a general way, but look at the local church we're involved with. Is our faith being spoken of throughout the whole world? In other words, do we understand why we're here and what we're a part of? And how this is affecting the community we're in. These are probing questions. And I have to ask, as a pastor, do I look at the churches I serve and say, I thank the Lord for these saints, praying for them. I'm overwhelmed that you have kept a church alive, full of members at times like this. You see, I believe this whole section is revitalizing us to understand what we are a part of and whom we serve. God strengthened these believers in the midst of persecution to be this kind of light. I pray that we are the same. No matter our circumstances, in all of the chaos, that we see believers here who are spoken of, who are recognized. So do you see the beautiful thing that's happened in this passage? Between this pastor and a congregation, their faith is a glowing testimony. The pastor has a glowing testimony of excitement over them as he prays and thanks God for them. And what comes next? You'll notice here Paul mentions three times, I want to be with you. I desire to come to you. Look at verse 10. I'm asking that I may succeed in coming to you. I long to see you. Verse 11, verse 13, I want to know you to know, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. And then there's something here that gets overlooked. And the reason it's important to understand is because it's showing us why we're doing ministry, why we're here. Remember what the apostle or what Revelation says about ministry. Remember Revelation 3. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. In 1 Corinthians, Paul described his work in Ephesus. And you know what he said? For a great and effective door has happened for me. I'm staying here until Pentecost because I realize the Lord has opened wide a door for the message. The door was the door of opportunity. The Lord opened it wide for reaping. You realize the Lord's doing this. The Lord was constantly opening doors and shutting them for people to be receptive to the gospel and become saved. And sometimes he shut the door. Remember, the Holy Spirit did not permit Paul to go into Bithynia. So the Holy Spirit was working and opening and closing doors. Sometimes he shut it, sometimes he opened it. Now, why do I say this? Paul's heart was set on Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. Why? Because a door was wide open. And I can't help but see here what we have displayed for us, what a pastor is. You know, I've had to think a lot about this. Wherever I go to minister and be a pastor and minister the word, you know, why do we go? Why do we do what we do? You know, why do we move on? Why do we take calls to pastor? Why do we do this? Well, we're faced with answering questions like that, and it goes through your mind. How do you know if the Lord is calling you here? How do you know if the Lord's calling you there? And what is the basis of the decision? What is the reason we leave? The short answer to that is, the Lord places a burden on the heart of his servants to go where he calls to minister the word. But the long answer comes from something I've learned in the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, listen carefully to this. Furthermore, when I was in Troas, I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. But I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus, my brother, there. But taking my leave of them, I departed to Macedonia. Now, I don't know if you caught that. Paul just said, the Lord opened wide a door for me in Troas to preach the gospel. Why would I leave that? Well, God in his providence had ordered things that he gave him no rest in his spirit. So he left for Macedonia. Now that's amazing. The door was opened wide for the gospel. Christ opened it and he left. We know from Acts that he saw a vision of a man from Macedonia who was pleading for Paul to come help them. That door was the door the Lord wanted them to go through. Think about this whole thing. Why do pastors move, or why do pastors accept calls? You know what it made me realize? What makes me realize through this whole thing is that the calling of the minister, the reason we are ministers, is that we are helping people. We are helping people, and the Lord is opening doors and burdening hearts that they would go. Paul looks at Rome, and here's my point. His heart is set on that open door. He's waiting for the Lord to send him. Why? Here's where we get to the goal tonight and today of Christian ministry. Did you notice it? I want to come. I want to be there. Verse 11, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that I may strengthen you, that we may be mutually encouraged together by each other's faith. You realize that's the purpose of Christian ministry for the believers, for the pastor to strengthen them in the word, that they would be mutually encouraged together in the faith, and as they minister the gospel, Paul's going to say that there would be a great harvest of souls. That's what we do. This is what we're about. What a beautiful picture here. A church whose faith is being spoken of all throughout the world, a pastor who is laboring to strengthen them and mutually encourage them in the faith. If we would start seeing this again today, what a powerful testimony of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would fill our churches. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.